Gave me an opportunity, since I was so close, to try to bring some things with me to show you. And I also tell you about this work in progress. The last 10 years I've not been teaching this course. However, the School of Architecture at AIT has just instituted a new college of design. And they're going to be beginning teaching it. This college is going to start up in September. And they have recruited me to try to bring back this course, which I used to teach. And which resulted in, after teaching it for about 18 years, I actually put together some of the material from the course in my book, Connections, that some of you may know about this book. And you'll find in that chapter, you'll find those books, what's the, there are 734 diagrams, and most of these books are stated in that too. So now, all the things I have over here were primarily created by my students or people I've met along the way. In the process, I actually created another book called Beyond Measure. You can take a look at this. A number of interesting assorted topics. My travels through this particular area. Matter of fact, some of the things which I have over here resonate very well with the things we talked about during the conference. So let me perhaps start off by giving you a little bit of an overview of the course I have in mind. As I mentioned, this is a work in progress. And now if I can get a new idea from today's meeting. The way I visualize this course is they're carrying on four different levels. Highest level being metaphor and creativity, rather than any particular subject. Second of all, two and three dimensional design concepts, which enter into it. And then geometry and algebra are the mathematical ideas. And communications and literacy have to be part of this course. And as a matter of fact, I have always been having students writing essays on various things that come up in the course. I have some of the essays that are here, from some of the interviews you'd like to see. These are the objectives. Topics to be arranged into independent modules, spiral modeling of learning is used rather than linear models, concepts return to different contexts. Most topics are connected at different levels. One of the things we see today that you start someplace and you automatically see how it's connected with everything else. Each module should contain significant mathematical content because this is going to be a math course. Of course, addresses a variety of design ideas, symmetry, symmetry breaking, duality, positive, negative space, mathematical constraints on space, nature of infinity, modular design, and you know. Here are the objectives. We'll be using algorithms to carry out design activities to emphasize rather than the human experience. The designs are derived from different cultures, ancient and modern. Most design activities are either adapted to the computer or computer applicable. However, the first stage of the design process should be hands-on on the perspective. Materials are ungraded. They can be adapted to students in from the third grade up to graduate school. Both mathematically and non-mathematically oriented. The course should emphasize writing and communication. Evaluation of students, of course, and of course you have to evaluate. Strappers, journals, design projects, homework exercises, essays, no example. Questions? Here are some of the main topics. This is way too much for a one course. I'm afraid this will have to be a series of courses, but these are the ideas that I think should be placed into. From informal geometry, start off with projective geometry, theory of graphs, theory of proportions, classical modular design, three-dimensional geometry and form of figure, theory of knots and surfaces, symmetry and music. And see how this resonates with our conference in the last 2 days. Some examples in this presentation, which I will not be able to get to all of them, are to include the lattice design, the proportional system in Roman architecture, based on the silver mean. Golden mean and Le Corbusier's modula. Star by a Danish engineer by the name of Tom Brunas. Interesting star. Pangrams and Amish quilts. Soma and Lunda tiling. Pendulum tiling. Hyperbolic geometry. Projective geometry and design. Linden Meyer L systems and classes. Seven cells and problem, which I really wanted to get into this course. I'm really so fascinated by it. However, the question is how we can implement this. The rotation of fractals, image processing, space filling, image compressing, music, diatonic scale, and clubbing scale. So to start off with informal geometry, I used to start off with just talking about pangrams and Amish quilt patterns and the relationship between them. Matter of fact, I have a couple of these patterns here, which are, let's see, there's the dying set, and quite versatile, and I simply ask the students to cut these little polygons out and then try to reconstruct the square if they could. And then after they play around with it, they do some interesting figures, create their own design problems based on these same elements. And so here are a few results. This is a very nice one. I brought in Pennsylvania Dutch country, just to start off with. I have another very nice one hanging in my living room. There's a little student's work. One of my colleagues placed this on the cover of his book. And here's one last one. There are many of these things. And actually, these things I'm showing you come from quite some time ago. And they represent a very, very small fraction of what they once were. Time to rebuild my cache of projects. And there are also, this leads into some interesting geometry based on what we call zone guides. We have a three-zone guide, which actually materializes into a cube. This is an eight-zone guide. You can see, again, almost like the squares and these. But these are not Amish diamonds. This is a different diagram. You have ratio of diagonal points of the square root of 2. Now this materializes into a rhombic dodecahedron. Okay, that's the quote hanging on my wall. You notice that there is a 9-square grid. Every quoter begins with 9-square grid. The 9-square grid is really very simple, but it can be made also very complex. So, here is my informal geometry, so the coffee can geometry, basically. Just take the top of the coffee can, where you can put a little dot in the center, and then you place the dot on different on the edge, and then create the new dots. And then you run the new dots, between two dots, you can place a line. So you can slowly build up geometry from from the upper left-hand corner is called the vesicle Pisces. And it was in the center of that is where all of the images of Christ used to appear on the churches. You can take this quite far into creating some ideas of geometry. Here are some patterns that the students have created from these Corpican geometry. Spirals can come out of very simple, like squares inside the square. These are all very simple things to just get started thinking about geometry. Here is that star again, that this is a Brunei star, Tony's Brunei star. The most remarkable. Buddha says that he found this in a tapestry in Pompeii, in the ruins of Pompeii. But I've seen it other places. And in fact, it's sitting right in the little house of Gaudi, the architect Gaudi. I went into his little house on a tour. And there, sitting in a chamber, was in a little glass case, which is a star. And I also went to the Sagrada Familia here, there, in the gift shop, there, you see on the ceiling, this side there. And it's elevated in right to the center. It's quite remarkable. It's quite simple, as you can see. You take a square, and cut the square in half, place two diagonals in it. Then cut the square in half, the other direction, takes two diagonals at each half. And that's it. And I wish I had a pointer. I guess I can point.
There's a middle button, the red button in the middle.
A red button in the middle? Okay. You'll see here is a triangle. This is a 2, 4, 5 triangle. In fact, every triangle you see in this whole picture is either a 3, 4, 5 triangle or a fragment of one. So all of these are 3, 4, 5 triangles. The little ones, they are important in scale. And you can see how it needs to be proportioned in space, putting levels into equidistant line segments. And here's another view of it. One of my students created this really nice little picture. And then you can see the 9-square grid sitting right there. And there's, I wrote a whole chapter in the later book on this star. It's connected to music and color and orchestra. Here's another student's life. Created some nice images of this. There's one. And here's another one. So you can things come alive and you add color to it. Color is one of the great secrets. You can never ever find someone who knows about color asking you secrets. Here's also we have the star again. Actually, that star is being used over here to create an interesting tile, which I'll talk about in a moment. This is an amazing tile. Theory of proportion. Okay, it's a costly theory as the modulus of the Lucianity. And this, by the way, is not. That's meant to be square. The golden mean square. Golden mean cube, as we mentioned before. The way this works, actually, is that these two systems work beautifully. And all the proportional systems on the spectrum work the same way. If you make this point up, this length up, it fits right in between these two lengths. In other words, it's the arithmetic mean of these two. If you lower this one to this gap over here, this one would fill in and would be exactly at the harmonic mean of these two. All proportional systems have the same quality, so there's the algebra involved there. However, you can, it has also added additive properties. You add, as you know, if you add 1 plus p, you get p squared. So it has additive properties, which makes it very architectural. So you can play games here where you take a square and you break it down into rectangles whose proportions, edges are numbers from those two zeros, either of those two zeros. And whenever you get one, you can take the same tiles and rearrange them to get countless others. You can only do this with a system that has additive properties. Try to do that with any other system that does not have additive properties. You get one, that's it. So here we have one tile three different ways, here's a second one tile three different ways. Okay. And here's what the Fabrizier does with this. He creates, the habitation and parts using similar aspects of the Fabrizier model. This is a system based on Roman proportions, and which is based, instead of about the golden mean, this is based on the silver mean. And basically, there are three rectangles of three different proportions, a square, a square root rectangle, and one which is like called a Roman rectangle, which is 1 by 1 plus the square root of 2. 1 plus the square root of 2 is known as the silver mean. And you can see here that there are all kinds of relationships between these three modules to run a rectangle and extract a square, you get the square root over here. You extract one square from the two squares from the Roman rectangle, and you get another Roman rectangle over here. So they fit together in all kinds of ways. If you take a quarter square root rectangle and fold it in half, you get 2. So there are all kinds of ways to go. So this leads you to be able to create some very interesting patterns, because what if you're, so I gave it to students to create a pattern by taking these three species of rectangle and creating a pattern where the rectangles occur at three different scales. You recognize the card with three different spells. May have some other ones here. Yeah. This is another one. And it's always fascinating to me that if you give very general instructions, but nothing too specific, you get back results that are quite different from each other. I should have mentioned that you can do something similar with the golden meaning. You just take triangles, which is a triangle, which is a golden meaning. The ratio of the base to the side is the golden mean. And you can dissect that into two golden mean triangles and create other patterns. Which, here's my apartment series page based on the old golden mean triangle. And here's another one. The old triangle in the chair. Triangles are put together to make rectangles, make diamonds. And here's another one, just to put an idea of the diversity of them. And you'll notice that golden mean has intrinsically based on the number 5. So it comes out without thinking about it, 5 always comes out. 5 or maybe 10, just that. So, here's the algebra behind the system I just showed you. There's an algebra here, and whereas in the modular system there were just either the red series or the blue series. In this case, there are an infinite number of geometric sequences. These are called geometric sequences. But what I just would like to point out is that if I raise this number here, this turns out to be the arithmetic mean, at least two. If I bring this one down, turns out to be the harmonic mean of these two. So this system, again, has that wonderful mark of a, what I consider a really good proportional system. So it starts off with geometry, and simple geometry, but then it can get rather sophisticated. And I have work done by a couple of architects who have actually investigated the ruins in the city of Ostia, which was the port city of the Roman Empire. And he has discovered this Roman system essentially being used. A system. Oops. Here are some tiling patterns, a number of tiles. That tile I showed you before is a cookie tile. It's very interesting. And here are some, I should just show you one very nice. You have it here, and it's in there. Get some technical calculator to facilitate this process. So what we'd like to do is to minimize it and then open up some of its This is my friend, my good friend Slavik, has done a lot of work with these tiles. We can see in green, There it is. The green tile, so just nothing worse but a tile with a bunch of stripes. Vertical stripes. And look at the green tiles are being turned at right angles. And he's discovered that he and also independently another friend, like the business, Dan Nicholson out in Chicago, interesting architect and artist, both mutually discovered that all the labyrinth tiles are basically created in this fashion. Very striking. Getting back to this, we can see a number of these tiles. Hot tiles at the bottom, we call them hot tiles. You can see I've taken this off there. Mm-hmm. Green tile. It's much more interesting to see dynamically. And here is simple enough, but look at all the wonderful patterns you create. What I'd like to be doing with the students, I have some little metal trays, and I made a bunch of these, and I would put them on little magnetic tape, cut them out, and then just be able to push them around on this little metal tray, and then use that as a way of studying symmetry patterns. See how many different symmetry patterns you can create in a particular arrangement. So that would be a project that I would try to do in the next course. There is that tile I showed you that came from the Buena Star. It's a Kuki tile. It comes in two shapes. This is the negative or the positive. Black becomes white, red becomes black. This layer is all done with sequences of the Kuki tiles. The Kuki script. Here are some of the, Ben Nicholson has been coming up with complete taxonomy of labyrinth patterns. And you can see that once again he's using these hot tiles to create labyrinths. So this is something that would be very much fun to work with students, just playing around with this. You can see you can begin to turn into circles and create labyrinth patterns. Here are some of the cameo stone diagrams. You put the native, you simply place little stones on the ground, and then create continuous curves surrounding these to create interesting patterns. And they became very excellent at doing this. There's an ethnomathematician by the name of Gerdich. DES. And he has actually made a great study of these patterns, and he found an incredible amount of mathematics in them. I have one of his books if anyone wants to take a look at it. It's very fascinating. And discovered that these patterns are created by taking mirrors, in there, and then taking a ray of light. It hits the mirror, it bounces off. And then here you can see the diagram, the pattern he made with the use of mirrors. Mirror curves. And actually, Erica Mayen has actually take fell in love with these and began to investigate them from the point of view of draft dealers. So we went and see how many different maps you can create from one. Diagrams with two intersections, or two pieces, or three pieces. And these kind of games are different from the point of view of graph theory. So you can go from the ethnomathematics into the mathematics. Ah, 3 minutes? Okay, that's fine. Here are some Goomba patterns based on, right from the same patterns. I have a whole bunch of lattice patterns which are created from lattice. And all you do is count, you can create your fundamental pattern, just count the numbers, and then discard it. Or you can do this with fourfold symmetry. And I have many, many kind of many examples of this. Or you can do it in three dimensions. There's a lattice design which is done in three dimensions. And there's a marker. Or now keep it together. All you have to do is count squares or count cubes. Traveling sales and symmetry and music. Well, this might be interesting just to show you the beginning to end here, actually. There's your 12-tone circle right there that you've seen earlier today. And there's the piano. Of course, D is on top. And D is on top because that is the most symmetric. That's the diatonic scale. The D on top is totally symmetric. And you can see why. Here's the piano. Here's D on the piano. And you notice a D, middle D, divides this pattern into symmetrical. So it's very symmetric around D. Here is a diatonic scale, 7-tone scale, based on D. And if you turn it upside down, the white notes become, even the white dots become black dots and give you a pentatonic scale. The pentatonic scale is distinguished from the hexatonic scale in that there are no half tones, no semitones. So almost anything you play on a pentatonic scale, play the black keys on the piano, it will sound like music. You have to be a really good composer and musician to be able to work with those half tones. But what somebody in Toussaint at the University of Montreal discovered is that most mysteriously, all the African clapping patterns are based on the diatonic scale. The diatonic scale occurs in all different modes. You can rotate it so C is on top, it won't lose its symmetry. And you still have a diatonic scale, because you have a different clapping pattern. So this clapping pattern will go and if you put C on top, you get a different clapping pattern. And here are some music of clapping based on Stephen Reich's music.
Last few things. This is
something.
Yeah,
I'm
a struggle
from Spence.